evening. This is Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. And tonight our wonderful guest is Wilma Frederick, a dear, dear friend of mine and a very gifted psychic and a young lady who's developed children's programs. And I can't tell you all the things she's done besides talking to angels. I met her at the ARE my first year there and taking training. And she and I have been so close ever since. She's here tonight to share her wisdom and understanding. She's going to tell you a little bit about herself. Welcome, Wilma.
Hello to you, Phyllis, and to your listening audience.
Well, thank you for this opportunity
to share.
Oh, you know, it's my joy to have you with me. You've been a dear friend, and we've kept in touch for many a year. I think we
Actually, since 1992 when we met in Virginia
Beach.
That's
right. Oh, my. I thought it was 1991, maybe. No?
No, it was 92.
Well, anyway, however long it's been.
Hardly any difference.
However long it's been, we've been together and friends. We visited back and forth. I can't tell you how wonderful and how deeply appreciative I am of your friendship and your gifts, which you've given unstintingly of yourself. We just finished up with a dear friend of mine on the show ahead of us, Akira, and I would like you to talk about what your heart desire is tonight and what we can share with our listening audience. How silly. Our listening audience tonight.
We all have stories to tell, don't we? Because we are making our own stories as we live our lives. And it's at my time in life where I can look back and review, I really have a hard time marking when it all began, because it's more like a process the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are significant events mm-hmm. along the way that do grab your attention, and
mm-hmm.
It's been kind of fun to be doing a personal review of my psychic development
mm-hmm.
Since you gave me this opportunity to share with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's usually something quite simple. In my case, it was the experience of a Thanksgiving turkey drawing,
mm-hmm.
and I stood up before they called my name. And then I, of course, had to sit down, a little bit embarrassed, mm-hmm. but the next moment they did draw my name. And so everyone did look a little surprised, and so was I.
Oh, how nice.
And that was just the beginning of when I was in college, and the door beginning to open. And we all develop in the most interesting of ways.
Mm-hmm.
My first reading I ever experienced was a palm reading from a young woman of South America, from
mm-hmm.
Chile. Interesting to me now in review is her name is Angelica.
Oh.
And little did I know how important angels would be in my life at that time. Although I grew up being very angel connected, my mother had us, that my siblings and myself, that we said bedtime prayers. And sometimes with schoolwork, the thought of saying too many was a little disheartening,
mm-hmm.
so I would ask if I could just say one prayer, and she said yes,
mm-hmm.
and it would be the prayer to the guardian angel. So in
okay.
review, I can see the pattern showing itself from the beginning, although it wasn't really a conscious
mm-hmm.
understanding of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Angelica's introduction to me, a palm reading, was very interesting, and I was quite skeptical. I asked her where she learned it, and then I asked where her teacher learned it from,
mm-hmm.
and then where her teacher learned it from, and when she said a Bolivian shaman, you know, medicine person, I
wow.
thought that was the source at that point, and I accepted that. Not
okay.
just the information she gave, but where it was coming from. So it was all the summer after that I returned to California from Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and it was at the end of the summer, actually, the introduction to palmistry, that another significant event occurred, and I was in a bookstore, and as I turned in a corridor, my purse hit a book off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked it up, and it was a book on palmistry. Well, I had been introduced to it. But I wasn't ready yet for such a thing, and so I stuck it back on the shelf. But the moment I stepped away about three steps, I heard something drop to the floor, and there it was, the same book.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to, right? That kind of experience.
Yeah.
And so it was a primer, and it
uh-huh.
was, I skimmed through it, and then I purchased it because it was very inexpensive. And the way you learn palm reading is very interesting. You hold the book with one hand and have your palm out, the other palm out, so that you're going back and forth. And
sort of like, visual game of tennis.
Well, it's fascinating. You know, it was the door that opened to a new way of looking at people. And the following year, I married, and my husband was in the Navy, and he was away on a cruise, so I took a part-time job. And one day, the gal I was working for was despondent, and I asked her, I said, let me look at your palm. Maybe there's something uplifting here and information. I said, she said, oh, you read palms? I said, no, I don't. I'm just learning about it. I've actually was introduced to it a year ago, and since then, I've read every book I could get my hands on. It's amazing how something triggers an insatiable appetite to move in a certain direction.
Exactly.
And so that summer I worked for her company, I had people catch me in the hallways asking me to look at their palms. They would come at lunchtime. And I found that this was a way to test out the validity of what I had learned from reading books. So I had the book learning, and now I had the application of it. And if I had any doubts, I would let them know that I would let them know the next day that I would check the information I had and see how these combinations would come together in some kind of valid information.
Uh-huh.
And even though intuitively I was beginning to sense things,
right,
I didn't trust myself yet, so I would always go to the books. So
mm-hmm.
that's how things began to move for me, the continuing expansion of awareness and learning about these different skills. So it became quite interesting, and it just goes on and on and covers a lifetime. You know, everyone has their story of how they evolve and basically awaken, because we are all born with these attributes.
Absolutely. You and I are so in agreement on that every one of us has these gifts. And it's like a muscle. If you don't use it, or another talent, a gift, if you don't use it, it usually doesn't come to the fore, except that very often we get strong nudges to do something. And the more important it is for us to open up to these gifts that are God-given gifts.
Absolutely.
They're normal and natural, and they're part of the soul, which is why they're called psychic gifts. And the thing is, some people get nudges that are very violent when they don't listen. I've known of people who came to awareness after being struck by lightning. Okay? This is kind of sort of like a really large 2x4 being applied very firmly.
Exactly.
I personally am a great more
gentle,
I didn't have to have to be struck by lightning. Go ahead.
I said I prefer a more gentle experience.
Me too, personally.
But, you know, some of us are a little stubborn, or some of us have a certain plan, time frame
yes.
to act
yeah.
on
some
something.
Of us have to have something dramatic. I think I met a gentleman who was a Unitarian minister who said he had a visitation by St. Michael, and he was taken back to the hospital, and this was one of the first great awakenings that he had of an angelic presence, because he had just come from the hospital where he was tested with a sulfa drug, and it was toxic, and he had a severe reaction to the sulfa for the internal exam, and it hit him after he left the hospital. And he had a major delusion, and he was driving. He found himself wandering in the woods and turned around and saw a vision of Michael the Archangel, who guided him back to his car and back to the hospital.
There are some beautiful, beautiful experiences. Some of the angel books that have been written with a lot of the stories of individual experiences, very, very uplifting. And I had such an experience myself.
Oh, please share.
When I was a new mother, mm-hmm. and my husband traveled during the week, and I was kind of alone, and I grew up in San Diego, California, and here I was in Western Pennsylvania, and felt rather alone and scared at the responsibilities mm-hmm. of being a wife and a mother. And one Friday morning, I prayed to God and asked if, you know, I just really needed to know that guardian angels were real.
Uh-huh,
they could
uh-huh.
stay invisible, but if God would just give me a sign to validate their existence, I needed to know I wasn't alone.
Uh-huh.
In the sense of, to me, a guardian angel was kind of that personal connection to God.
Exactly.
To Lord Jesus, to
right.
the whole big spectrum of understanding divine
uh-huh.
power in place. And so I asked for a sign, and I asked for a blue feather, that I would see a blue feather before the day was out.
Uh-huh.
And once the prayer request was made, I felt content and went about my day's,
uh-huh.
you know, duties. And at supper time, my husband had arrived at that time, which he usually did. And after supper, I cleared the dishes and was washing them while he went to the car to unload. And uh-huh. all of a sudden, I realized I had not received my sign.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, why did I ask for such a silly sign? A blue feather? What in the world? Why couldn't I just recognize something? You know, my heart was uh-huh. recognized. About that time, my husband was kicking at the screen kitchen door, and
uh-huh.
I could see that he had a crate in his arms.
Uh-huh.
So in letting him in and following him back to the kitchen, he set the crate down, and with his arms removed, I could see the large label on the end of the crate as part of the logo was a very large blue feather.
Oh, wow.
And I danced around in excitement and joy, and said, I didn't say how. Thank you, God.
Uh-huh.
And that was the beginning of an accelerated experience with the angels. I
mm-hmm.
began to have a lot of dreams of angels, and I would wake up still talking with them, you know.
What are some of the things that you learned through the angels? I'd like our audience to be more aware, as you know, and we're both going to repeat again. Everyone has these gifts to connect with a source, with God. Everyone. It's our right. And we have the ability to do this. We just think we don't. We tend to think it's just something highly special to a few, and it's not. It's for all of us. And she's got one of the many amazing stories. And
I just love you
to continue with this, because, you know, most people just, they really run away from it. They don't feel they're worthy or something.
Well, that's part of this life, isn't it? We come into this world and it seems to give us amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe to the age of 4 and 5, we're still in touch with our true spiritual senses.
Mm-hmm.
But as we acclimate to the physical reality and adjust to it, because
mm-hmm.
we do have a purpose by the very fact that we exist, we are important.
Right.
You know, And it's like everything, you know. If you have a set of 2 hands and fingers,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can learn how to play the piano. Now, that doesn't make you a concert pianist because that involves a higher level of drive and love and passion,
and interest,
you know.
Yeah.
So we all have these intuitive intelligence and talents, abilities, whatever names we want to give, and they come in they can be applied in so many ways. I use the blue feather in sharing with others the experiences of asking, you know, for validations. And they would, but it doesn't have to be a blue feather. But yes, they would, a lot of friends did ask for blue feathers, and they did receive the confirmation. So and once you connect with that part of you, the spiritual part of you that is your true self, and we are all these aspects of body, mind, and spirit, and integrated, we are extremely powerful. My favorite, and I'm not even sure where it came from, affirmation is, I am the presence of the power of God and the power of the presence of God.
Beautiful.
That is a wonderful and inspiring statement.
Absolutely. What is it again now?
I am the presence of the power of God and the power of the presence of God.
That is that's saying something very, very deep.
Very deep.
Very deep.
And I do have to remind the listening audience that even when you make your spiritual support connection, whether it's through angels, saints, master teachers, you know, whatever names that make you feel comfortable and that you can relate to, that doesn't take away from the challenges of life that you're here to grow through. Because the angel connection for me gave me a lot of personal strength and courage, motivation, as well as education. And to me, the most important thing was learning or having confirmed that we are never alone. Our life support is our spiritual family.
Right.
And they give us what we need. Because I went through the experience of breast cancer, and yet I was fortunate enough to have no fear through the process. I had simply prayed on a Monday night to help be more motivated for weight loss. And I weigh more now than then. It's so crazy we are as human beings. And the next night, Tuesday, I'm putting on my nightgown, I noticed a lump on my right breast at the top quadrant. And then conveniently on Wednesday, my daughter had a temperature, so I didn't go to work. And my sister called and found I was at home. And I told her about the lump I discovered, and she gave me her doctor's number to call. Well, I said I would do that. Well, I had not done it in 5 minutes because she called back. And she said, do I have to do it for you? I said, no, I'll do it. And I called, and I told her I had not had an exam in 6 years, and I needed a physical. And she said, great. And she said, is there anything else? I said, well, I did just notice last night a lump on my breast. Can you come in at 2:30? I hesitated. I said, wow. Well, yes, I'm already off work. And my daughter's fever had broken. And when I went to the doctor, he aspirated the lump, and he told me if fluid came out, it most likely was a cyst. If not, it would have to be removed. Before he could say anything, in my right ear I heard, Wilma, it will have to be removed. And 30 seconds later, the doctor said the same thing. And he asked me to get dressed, and I did. And then he asked me if I had a surgeon. I said, I didn't even have you. So he referred me to a physician to fit me in that very day.
My goodness.
Was only in going to the surgeon that I discovered I was dealing with possible cancer, because he said, not to worry, it was 50-50 chance it was cancer, but it was only one breast. He had removed two that morning. And, of course, I went into shock.
Of course.
And realized nobody who can remove breasts that easily is going to touch my body.
Okay.
And I got home, and my sister was already calling. I told her the situation, and she was going to give me a doctor's name that was at a hospital that was really just a few blocks away from where I live.
Okay.
And that's where I went. But, and I have to say, it was malignant, and I had decided that if it was, the mastectomy could be done, you know, without my waking up. And that was my experience. And I had the blessing of waking up when my husband had stepped out of the room and my sister Gloria was sitting at the foot of the bed. And I felt a twinge of pain because I moved my body.
Uh-huh.
And I told her, oh, it was malignant. And she just nodded her head, affirmative. And I went back to sleep. And it was the only discomfort I ever had. I healed so fast. I was in the hospital Monday morning.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing was remarkable. Monday, my prayer. Tuesday, discovery. Wednesday, the doctor, the two doctors. Thursday, I called Dr. Shea. Friday, he saw me. Monday, I was in the hospital. Tuesday morning, the surgery. And on Thursday, I escaped to do a weekly report from where I work. And Friday, I checked out. And, I mean, it was just amazing.
Talk about a fast track.
Well, again, thanks to spiritual support, you know, I experienced no fear. I knew I would never have it again. I didn't know how I knew it. I just knew.
Uh-huh.
And later on, I had a dream that explained in another lifetime, I had died of cancer.
Ah.
And in that dream, I did, I told the cancer that next time I would get it. But I thought that was an interesting dream.
Yes.
But what was even more important was the epitaph I wanted on my tombstone in that time. It was so important to me that I wrote it out, and it was emphasized, and it's so beautiful.
Okay.
If I had a tombstone, I would like to have it written again. The epitaph was, just because the light of a candle goes out does not mean that the work of the candle is over.
It waits beautiful
to be light again.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Well, I've been very fortunate. I get a lot of my information, prophecies, from dreams, as well as direct communication from the angels.
Uh-huh.
Once you're connected and you have no limitations, then how can you have limitations? If you're God connected,
right.
God has no limitations. So the only limitations we have are self-imposed.
That's right.
And I've always just stayed open. I said, take the hinges off the door, the doors may be open. I trust the angels will protect and guide me. And, you know, what I need to know, when I need to know, to do what I need to do. And I ask the angels to give me information for others based on, you know, whatever they give me, I'm going to share. If it's not something a person's supposed to know at this time, then don't give it to me, because I feel obligated as a mirror of the person. My job is to be a clear mirror,
right?
You know, a clear transponder. So there's
right.
no static. And I'm still human, and I may be subject to some wrong interpretations, but that's the only error in psychic information. It's not in the information. It's in how it's interpreted.
Yeah, because it comes through the filters of our own knowledge, experiences, prejudices, and awarenesses. Most people that I know are very, very genuinely honest, and they do try to give you the best of the information. But something else, too, I think, and that is things are subject to change. It's called free will. And when a person decides to change their mind, and there are several outcomes, it is how we choose to either do or just wait. But we can change the outcome of something.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a negative outcome and we have decided that we will see the light, so to speak, or that we choose to do something about it in a positive way. Does that make sense?
Of course. And we are creating our own destiny. We are masters of our own destiny. But
absolutely.
There are certain things that we have chosen. I obviously had to, by the very fact that it happened.
Right.
That was an important life lesson.
Right.
I experienced breast cancer. It was a residue from another time, and I've known from the very, from the incident itself that I would never have to deal with cancer again in this lifetime.
That is a blessing.
And so I had no fear, and of course I took away the ammunition for it to come back. Anyway.
Yeah, we draw to us that which we fear. And that's something that a lot of people tend to forget, is that what energy that we send out to the universe, we draw to us.
And let's change that into a positive.
Yes.
We also draw to us what we love.
That's correct.
Our passions.
Right.
You know, our good.
Right. And that's learning to, what is the expression?
But
to
you're
control
right.
your thoughts?
There's only two choices in this world. We either
okay.
love.
Yeah,
well, good evening.
We have a caller, Wilma. Would you like to take her? Or?
You go ahead and I'll listen in if you need to.
I can barely
okay,
hear.
I'm here.
You're on the air with Higher Dimensions. May I help you?
Hi, this is Julia. How are you?
Well, hello, Julia. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
What can we do for you this evening, darling?
Well, I was hoping just for a short reading, if that would be all right.
I could do something for you. I don't know. Did you want to give her words of wisdom if you receive something?
I will.
You will?
I will respond to whatever you would like. You go ahead and start, and maybe I can take up some additional information for you.
Go ahead, Julia. What's your question, darling?
I was going to see if you could give me some guidance regarding if you see a job. I've been looking for a job. And also just like a brief spiritual progress report.
I think it's the 2 weeks
okay. You're looking for a job in what field there?
2 weeks. I just got 2 weeks, so I have to interest.
Okay, go for it.
I just wanted to give her a time frame that in 2 weeks that she would have a position offered to her that was unexpected but appeals to her and opens doors to a whole new avenue of applying her existing talents and skills. She has I pick up a lot of sensing from her voice. This is a lovely, lovely lady and very sensitive herself. And there's just a turning point in her life right now where she can't see around the bend, and that's because she's in the bend.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you have to, you know, just like a car, you can't take the curve in the road too fast or you'll go off it. So if you'll notice, the last couple of years have been a slowdown as you're prepared for this turn. But by the end of April, that bright light is going to shine, and you're going to be very happy in your new direction. You were always in the right direction, but the new, you know, like the rainbow after the rain. There are so many positives around you that the job is just the first one.
Very good. Does that answer your question?
Oh, most definitely. Thank you. That was, wow, wonderful.
Well, April's not that far away. It's toward the end of April, but you'll know in 2 weeks about the opportunity with the work. But it's just the beginning of a lot of an accelerated progress now because you've taken the curve.
Terrific.
Well, that's wonderful news. Thank you. Very optimistic. Wonderful. Well, thank you both very much. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you. Take care.
You're welcome. Thank you, Julie, for calling in.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, go ahead.
Excuse me, Phyllis. I did not mean to jump in.
You told me to go ahead and you jump in when you wanted to, and you sure did. Did you hear me complaining? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I can do team readings. That's not a problem.
Yes.
Anyway.
It's fun to do. We can pick up on each other.
Okay. We have another caller. Welcome to the Higher Dimensions. May I help you?
Hi.
Hi. With whom are we speaking?
Hi. This is Nan.
Hi, Nan.
Hi, and I'm calling from California.
Oh, how wonderful. What part?
My home state.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, hi, Wilma.
Hello, Nan.
I'm wondering if you can help me with something here. I'm actually working now in a position that I really don't like at all. It's boring. Even the salary's not there for me. And I'm, you know, looking for something else and wonder what time frame do you see for something else coming up?
I'm actually wanting to go, excuse me, fellas, please pop in too. I want to go backwards a little bit with you in time because there seems to be something that you did in November.
Okay.
It may have been more than one application during that time frame that that is actually going to be fulfilled in May. So,
okay,
like,
I was still working at that job in November.
Okay. Were there any applications that you made during that time frame or somebody that contacted you in regard to a possible employment or work?
I can't remember now, actually.
Okay. Well, from my having a lot of experience, if you don't remember, that's fine. It'll probably, I mean, I've never forgotten that I denied having a second Ron in my family, and I had a six-week-old baby boy sitting in my crib, and I was denying him when I had a reading. So I know that sometimes we can go blank. But
okay.
Something occurred in November of 2005 that will make sense in May of this year that opens a door for you into a new arena that will give you, I get the feeling, I get excitement, actually.
Oh,
and
cool.
It feels like some kind of training. You're very bright, and no wonder you're bored.
Yeah.
You know, there's not enough stimulation in your work environment.
That's
and
correct.
And you just had to compromise just to get an income.
That's correct.
But time is on your side, and May is your big breakthrough time. So be patient. There's somebody in your work environment now that's actually going to be the lead to this new position. Not in the same company, but something else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something she considered and applied for, but then changed her mind, and she informs you.
You know, there are some social workers in the same building that I talk to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Are there counselors and social workers?
Right.
Okay. So they may have something.
Yeah, she's right. It's going to come through for you, and it is going to come through a referral. And it's because of the word that you dropped in talking to someone at one point.
Oh, cool.
You see? So it's kind of, you know, it's serendipitous almost.
Yeah. Does money look okay there? Is that highlighted?
It seems to be comfortable enough, but I also see some money coming to you on the side. So
okay.
I don't know if it's an opportunity. There's just additional funds coming in that's regular for quite a while, possibly as a consultant of some kind. I'm not, maybe Phyllis can add to that.
Okay.
But there's like a regular employment income and then there's a side income, but they both kind of overlap and relate. Or maybe it's like working for the county and then working for a private individual.
Oh, that's terrific. Wow.
Yeah, so it's that type of parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you probably will let go of the county or government type work to go to the other.
Wow, that's terrific.
This is a good time. It's been hard to be patient, but you've just been marking time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You'll be running soon.
Wow, that sounds really positive.
Well, we hope so.
I do appreciate
it. Let us know.
I do appreciate
please,
it,
call
Wilma.
Back another time and let us know.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
bye. Evening.
Bye.
Okay, this is wonderful. I have fun with things like this. Anyway, part again of what we're saying is that each of us has the ability to tune into this and to be able to see our own future. But it takes time, and you learn to use it over time. Am I right? And
yes.
There are these false steps we take and trial and error, and just like anything else.
Right, and not only that, people need confirmation, even when you've sent, you know, you want confirmation from another.
Right, yes. Welcome to Higher Dimensions. May I help you?
Yes, I would like to ask a question.
Sure. Who are we speaking to?
Jamie, I'm from Seattle.
I didn't hear your name.
I'm sorry?
Your name?
Jamie.
Jamie. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear Jamie.
Oh, okay.
What is your question, dear?
I wanted to know if I am going to get married. Because I keep dating and dating.
Yes,
and it's a nightmare.
So the next thing you're going to want to know is when and who.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I'm feeling that you will, but I'm not feeling it's really right away. Do you, Wilma?
I'm wanting to go backwards again, which is not unusual for me. I usually sometimes for significant shifts in experiences, there's like a going back is the beginning of something that's stirred.
Uh-huh.
That it's like putting the cake in the oven. You know, you can't take it out till it's done, or it's not going to be really very good. You
right,
know,
right. Right.
And for is it Janie or Jeannie?
Janie.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a crush on someone? There's a I can feel a little heart throbbing here. And
yes,
that you've maybe cared about at a distance. And the reason I bring him to your attention is because the person that you're going to meet and marry is a lot like him. Does that fit in with anything?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know if it's him or one like him. One of the things I've discovered in over 30 years of doing this is the one and the one just before the one are very close.
Uh-huh.
They're good at, you know, personality types, even physical structure, and it's only time that separates it. And I'm picking up October. Is it last year or this year?
Pardon?
Something about October, but I think I'm wanting to go back again. There may be a gap here in time. I'm not quite sure. Phyllis said she's feeling that it was maybe not real close, but at the same time, I'm not sure that the October I'm getting is, or it's October to October, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And we have to separate actually marrying, but it's different than already being in a love relationship.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to be empty of love until, you know, 2 or 3 years. I think that you're going to be in a love relationship that's a whirlwind, and then there's going to be a gap in time because it's so fast that you both pull out and say, wait, I've got to breathe. I can't believe this is true. This is not real.
Restocking of the inventory, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I just got out of a relationship.
Ah.
Is that what that was?
Well, actually, I just got out of it this week, and I actually were to have thought that he would have been the one.
Uh-huh. Well,
he's not.
I don't feel like it's over.
Huh.
But there's a gap in time here. There's like space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he could come back?
Well, your paths will cross whether you like it or not. Both of you. You are, there's like a strain. It takes all your power to not connect. And so it's like it was just too fast. It's scary. You know?
Right.
But it's not over, and I'm going back to October. But destiny has it that your paths will cross, and I think it feels to me like you're soulmates because there's just such a strong magnetism. And for it to be so quick that it would scare you, it would have to be a really unusual relationship. I mean, unusual. It was just too strong a love, and it scared you. As I, you know, keep going back to that, I don't mean to just repeat it over and over.
Oh, that's okay.
But that seems to be what makes this a situation unique. And it seems like you were both later in life mm-hmm. and connecting.
Right.
So it's like this is a mature love that was acting immaturely. By immaturely, you know, like high school crushes and just...
All the trappings of the passion.
Right.
Yeah. And
yeah.
youth.
It's
yeah.
not over, and I believe you will
yeah.
marry. But I think it will probably be 2007.
Yeah, it's I don't see it really soon. Yeah,
but it is a lifetime marriage.
Oh, good.
Which is yes, that's a good thing.
Yes, that is a
really good
thing.
Marriage, and I keep. By the way, I'm also feeling a child is waiting to be born.
Is it a girl? My mother would like it to be a girl.
Yes, I do think it is a girl. I'm not sure, though. This is a case where I may be reading what you want,
right.
but usually what you want is what you get. Not always, but...
When will I have a child?
In the next, 3 years?
Oh, it would be right away.
Yeah, yeah.
There'd be no waiting.
Oh, okay.
You know, you waited long enough, so there won't be no waiting. But,
okay. Well,
she's very, very bright, very, very intelligent and sensitive. This is one of these indigo children.
Uh-huh.
So it's a good thing that you're very, very aware, as you are.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, because this
wow.
is going to be an advanced soul, and that's why she's probably going to be an only child because she's going to need all your attention.
Yeah, my feeling is it's the only child is also the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So thank you for calling.
Well, thank you so much.
Little girl too, though. I mean, she's,
oh yeah.
She's gonna have both of you around her little fingers.
Oh yeah.
But she's so special that, you know, you'll just have to let us know because this is a very special child, and there could be more information about her later on. It's
okay.
full-term pregnancy, so don't worry.
Oh, great. That's good.
Okay,
thank
you
so
much for
calling.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Okay, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Oh, I tell you what.
I've
had more fun. Doing psychic readings can be so fulfilling.
Aren't they? They are
oh,
so wonderful.
I'm telling you, I have been the messenger. They say don't shoot the messenger, but we should get little laurels around our heads sometimes too, because I've had the privilege of being the messenger for someone
mm-hmm.
who had had her tubes tied,
mm-hmm.
and yet when I did the reading for her husband, I saw this little redheaded girl, you know, a little toddler,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him if he had children. He said no, and then. But his wife had just changed her mind about having, because she had two from previous marriages.
Uh-huh.
But the information I gave was enough to have her have it. She had the procedure reversed.
Right.
And she did give birth to the little girl
Aww.
A year and a half later.
How wonderful.
And that was a miracle in itself. And then she was so excited once she had her that she wanted to have more children. And I said, count your blessings. This
you're
being given another chance to be a good mother.
Right.
And this is it.
Yes.
And she has not had any others. So,
the
child is now and getting ready to enter her first year of college.
Wow.
That's how much time has gone by for me.
Oh, it has. But it is wonderful when you are able to share things with people and they do come true. And, you know, sometimes, again, we want to say that we encourage you to grow and reach with your own soul, within your own soul, so you can help develop the knowledge of your own future. And also, with that, is the ability to know when things are not going well, or you need to be warned of something, you can get that warning, because it's not just for, you know, love life and all that. It's for everyday living as well.
It's preparation.
It's and it's there to be used to help you to see accidents, illnesses. I remember one time I was at the office working, and all of a sudden I thought of my son, and I became absolutely frantic. I knew something had happened to him, and I knew he'd had a broken bone, and I went racing home. I couldn't get a hold of him, and he was out playing, and when he finally was brought home, he was crying, and he had his thumb was broken. I took him to a doctor, and I had started for home really just about the time the accident happened, because I saw it happening in my mind's eye. So I was able to be home to take him to the doctor, the orthopedic surgeon, right away to get something done about it. And this is what I mean about using these gifts, you know, to help in everyday world. So you know when your children are sick, you know, when a child is lost, when you lose your car keys. That's as silly as that sounds. When you need to go someplace, you need to go someplace. I lost my car keys one time, and I couldn't find them. I went to bed that night. I dreamed that they fell between the back and the seat of the front of the driver's seat of my car. I got up, went out next morning, and by golly, that's where they. I put my hand down between the seat and the back, and there were my keys. I was so grateful. But this is what we're trying to explain: is you can use these to live your life a better way.
It gives you peace of mind. As a mother myself, I do know, you know, I would just have to check with the children's angels to see everything was okay, if they were late or something. And I would have that peace because I knew I was in touch with the angels. So they're angels, my angels, and things are going well. And angel-to-angel communication is very powerful. And they let you know if it's, you know, if it's not for you, you know, when you, they won't let you interfere with what is not to be interfered with.
Well, yes, and sometimes things have to happen because there are lessons to good. You know, there's a common theme through all of these things, and there's that they all happen for our greater good, these things in life. If we but learn, we may think at the time it's the worst thing that can happen to us. And sometimes, you know, you want to kick against the traces because you know something's coming. You don't want to go through. But when you go through it, and sometimes it's not as long as it, you know, as it could have been, you can ask that it be less stressful or less hurtful or whatever. And you do get that blessing when you ask for help.
Yes.
The ability to go through it, the ability to come out the other side. You do get help, and you know what? You find out you're not alone. You have your angels with you. You have your guardians.
And our families.
And they're all there waiting for us to help us.
We have a powerful support. Life support is our spiritual connection.
Exactly.
As well as our network of family and friends.
Yes.
We cannot function in this world without each other.
And we're not alone. That's the important thing. We are never alone. We always have those around us who love us, who are willing to help us and willing to move forward and teach us. Because, and even that's the promise of Christ. You know, seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Yes.
These are the real true promises. And they're not empty promises. But we forget them and we don't believe them. We think, oh, they're for somebody else who's better and special. There's nobody better or special than you yourself. You are loved, and as I said before, these gifts are for absolutely everyone. And that's part of what you're trying to do nowadays, don't you? Didn't you talk about tell me you had done a tape or something, darling, to teach people?
Oh, I think my psychic development was really spiritual development.
Of
you
course.
Know, I think we...
It is.
Grow up with the church of our family. I mean, that's mm-hmm. our upbringing, and so we stay with it. And then
mm-hmm.
you get exposed to a larger reality, a bigger world, and mm-hmm. you explore other areas. So it gets to be really interesting. As I was telling someone earlier today, that I think of God as ice cream. You know, we have all these different flavors,
uh-huh.
but it's all ice cream. And uh-huh. I've so that once you are in touch with the basic understandings that we all have as human beings, you know, what is our purpose in life? It's the same for all of us. We are here to love and be loved, to understand and be understood. That's all there is to it. The ice cream metaphor came up with an experience I had with a little boy on his 6th birthday. He pulled me aside and asked me why God makes bad in the world. And I thought, okay, God, this one's for you. You know, maybe I'm your mouthpiece, but bring that right answer, you know, in his, in the way that he can understand.
Right.
And so I said, Dorothy, do you like ice cream? He said, yes. And I said, is vanilla your favorite? He says, how did you know? And I said, well, I would like you to imagine a scoop of vanilla ice cream on your favorite cone. He says, yummy. And that now I would like you to imagine a scoop of mud on another cone. Yuck. I said, let's continue with our exercise to understand. He says, okay. Now I want you to taste vanilla ice cream. And it is yummy. And now the mud ice cream. And he frowned. And he said, yuck. And then there was this pause. And he said, is that it? God wants us to choose? I said, you've got it. And he ran off and joined his birthday party children again. And I was left amazed at how God can present information in such a simple, beautiful way.
Yes, and that's the way it needs to be done. And that's beautiful. That's perfect.
That's why I love. That's why I say God is like ice cream. But it all started with Dorothy and his 6th birthday, and is asking me why God makes bad in the world. And the answer was because God wants us
to choose.
What
a wonderful way
to
demonstrate
free will.
And to choose,
we have to know both. That's what this world is about. This school of life is all about choosing. You mentioned free will.
Right.
We have the choice. We might be about to experience something unpleasant, such as our own death, maybe to be executed in some crazy way because of where we are in the circumstance. We may not be able to stop our death, but we can control our attitude at death.
Absolutely.
We can die with dignity and in peace, or we can die in fear. We could think about all the love. You know, we know we're mortal. We're born, we die, and in between we live. Before we were body, we were spirit.
Yep.
And we return to spirit. We all make it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Exactly. That's beautiful. Well, we ask anybody else who wants to call in to do so. We don't have very much time left, but we'd love to talk to you if you would. Wilma, I guess, you have this audio tape on angels speak or something like that?
I was directed by the angel Ariel to write a book about my experience with the angels, and so I named it, based on my experience, The Blue Feather and Other Signs of Angels. It's an audio book. She told me that's how it needed to be for several reasons, including the fact that the voice is healing. But it's basically my experience in being introduced to the angels in an open awareness and how that support has helped me through life, including the experiences of breast cancer and my mother's passing and other challenges of life. I know I would not have been able to make it without that support. And now as I reach the golden age of maturity, I can look back and appreciate the path I've taken that was pretty well, most likely pre-planned. You know, I believe that we do have a plan when we come into this world. And free will allows us to say yes, thank you, or no, thank you all along the way. And I want to go home feeling that I've accomplished my mission, that I've lived to be the best Wilma I knew to be, to thank God for all the blessings of life that I've enjoyed. Uh-huh. I do know that, you know, love is joy, love is pain, love is life.
Uh-huh.
It's all of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what helps us to appreciate life itself and value it.
How can they get this tape, darling?
Oh, I do have a phone number. It's 850 area code, and the phone number is 995-0600, and it is a three-hour audiobook with exercises for developing and expanding your own angel communication. They always have beautiful things to tell you and remind you. Mostly they remind us, you know, they can't do our job of being who we are for us. They could just remind us of the things that we need to know, such as nobody can do to you what you are not already doing to yourself.
Yep.
Look with your eyes and see with your heart.
Beautiful.
You're never alone.
That's very important to remember.
That's probably the most important. And
our angels are always with us. And the thing is, we so often forget that all we have to do is ask for help. That's the other thing that I had to learn the hard way is I forgot to ask for help. I thought, well, I'm like, you know.
You were strong enough on your own.
Yeah. And you only ask if you're weak or you're sick or, you know, somebody's dying. I forgot and really wasn't aware that you can ask them for everyday help. It's
Just
for special circumstances.
But there's
it's for
a reason
every day.
Why, right? There's a reason why we have to ask.
Yeah.
It's so that we are participating in the relationship. It's a relationship, and that all relationships involve participation. And when we ask, we're participating, and we're saying we are ready.
And we're being proactive in our life, absolutely. And the thing is, once you start asking and you start getting answers, over time, as we learn to use these abilities, they get stronger and we get more confident of them, and we can then use our gifts to help others. That's the other thing. We learn that we're connected to everyone else, and that's the highest important thing I think we have to learn is that we have relationships with people, and the more we build with those relationships and the greater good we do with these relationships, the more gifts we are given. And the more we have things that we can do, the more we can use our abilities and have more abilities are given, and it just spreads. And we can share with it, and we can help other people understand things. I mean, I think my feeling is everyone, at one time or another in life, everyone has experienced what's called a paranormal event or a flash of intuition or knowing something was going to happen before it happened.
Exactly.
And they don't believe in themselves. That's the other thing. We don't believe in ourselves.
Well, we have to love ourselves so we can love others. We have to love others so we can love ourselves. There's really no separation.
But it's very hard sometimes for people to love themselves. They don't feel worthy. And
well, I don't know why they should have such a hard time. The value is self-evident by our very existence. You know, by the very fact that we are important or we wouldn't be here.
Precisely.
And
I agree with you.
In a time of terrorism and a world that's filled with insecurities, it's really important to develop our intuitive abilities.
Absolutely.
So that we have that antenna out there to recognize when there's danger.
And
you know?
A need to be careful or a need to take care of things. Absolutely.
And
you know, learn to act on what it comes to you, too. That's the other thing. If you get these flashes of intuition or feelings and you don't act on them, you don't honor them, after a while they start going away. It's like anything else. You should consider using them.
Practice makes perfect.
Like a muscle.
Yes.
Yeah, practice makes perfect. And that's how you, Wilma, and I know I, reluctant as I was to get into this field, because when you met me, you know, I was just really beginning to explore it. Remember that?
Well, as in everything, it was already there. You just hadn't opened up the closet to let it out. That's all.
Yeah,
and once
a whole lot
came out.
Well, you know, I was one of those who stuffed my closet just about as good as I could stuff it. And I surely didn't think back then that I would ever have my own radio show or that I'd be preparing my new TV show, you know, to go nationwide on psychic abilities and the gifts of the spirit and so forth. You know, if you told me that, I would have said, very nice meeting you, Wilma. Have a good life, you know.
Well, there's many, many ways to share the knowledge that we all carry within us. But it all starts with ourselves. The world gets better one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're here, to make this one person better. And that's
Absolutely.
How the world becomes better.
Well, we all get to heaven, what, leaning on the arm of a friend? That's what I'm told.
That's one way to look at it.
Anyway, you know,
it's been a wonderful experience tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, we haven't been told we have to leave yet. So,
as a guest.
Until we get the roundup signal, we can keep talking. Anybody else would like to call in, please feel free to do so. We've got a few moments left. We always love to talk to people.
Well, I think it would be important to remind people of the power of prayer.
Thank you. Wilma, would you like to stay on?
Well, I can stay on for a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe we can talk about world events, because the only places I'm ever drawn to anymore is really Australia, New Zealand. And I don't know why, except that it's a spiritual powerhouse that connects to me and me to it in some way. Although, all over the world, of course, there are energy centers of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, very fascinating world. And it's just a time of crises when
mm-hmm.
people forget to focus on the benefits of a loving intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to communicate,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not have to fight wars.
Yes.
These are troubling times. People
yes.
don't value life. There are some people who do not value life, and that's obvious by the fact that they give their own life in the process of taking others' life.
Mm-hmm.
And
these
and
are very
I'm,
troubled souls, I'm thinking.
And well, they do it under with a belief system that justifies their actions, and I'm sure in spirit they will have a different perspective. But
right.
each person has to live their life based on their value systems,
mm-hmm.
being open to, you know, back to the teachings we've all had, most of
right.
us. In fact, all the religions of the world have commonalities, you know.
I know.
It's back to the ice cream again and the different
yes.
flavors.
Right.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you
mm-hmm.
is the key.
Exactly.
And love one another, because
there is so much grief in this world. But again, you know, to me there is a silver lining in that I know that as this happens, those who are violent are leaving the earth plane, and what's happening is, as they do, the lesson is learned to pull as one people, to seek peace, to finally violence will run its course. It's like a sickness, a virus. And
that's true.
And yes, it's happened, and many people are hurt, but it also runs its course. At some point, the very people on whom this violence is practiced finally rise up and stop, because every individual has the power, combined with the next individual, to bring violence to a halt. Everybody tends to think, and it's why they don't vote, some of them, right? My vote won't count, so why bother? And the thing is, you have tremendous power, each and every human being has tremendous power within them to change the world. All we have to do is put our mind to it, to create a better place, a more peaceful place, and you can stop violence. I mean, there have been studies done on it. with prayer and meditation. You know that yourself, am I right?
Correct.
There have been those.
If we would just each person focus on love.
Exactly.
That's the key. You don't have to focus on the violence. You just have to focus on the love.
Well, you don't want to focus on the violence because what you put your mind to, you bring energy to, and you don't want to bring energy. What you want to do is bring peace. And so thinking of peaceful thoughts, sending peace and love, I mean, there are many prayer groups out there. I belong to one or two of them, and we pray for each other, and many good things happen. So it's a matter of working together, and it happens in your own life. If there's difficulty in your life, if you put your mind to it and ask for help and peace, and it comes.
It does. In fact, I would like to conclude my time with you this evening by an experience I had in 1977 in Atlanta, Georgia, where I attended a hypnotherapy demonstration to validate reincarnation.
Okay.
And there were probably 300 people in the audience, and the hypnotist guided us in relaxation, and he chose 10 people to go on stage in a semicircle. I knew in advance that I was supposed to be on that stage.
Okay.
At that time, the number 7 was always a sign nudge that I was following spiritual guidance. And I really wanted to dress casual because most people did at this time, but I was being told nudgingly that I needed to wear white. So to make a long story short, when I knew that I was to sit in the 7th seat, but it could be either of 2 seats depending on which side the hypnotist started. To make a long story short, I did end up in the 7th seat because the person called before me sat on the other one side, on the other seat that was a possible, and since he started on that side, it got to me. Out of the 10 people, he actually only had the time to do 4. He took us, regressed us to the age of, to our 5th birthday, and then to time before birth. And to make a longer story shorter, when he got to me, I was the 3rd person. He touched me on the arm, and he asked me where I was. Well, before, I was a nun in 1431 France during the time of Joan of Arc. But by the time he got to me, the violet light was going in a spiral, and then I wasn't there anymore. And when he touched me, I didn't know where I was, and he asked me to look at my feet, which is standard in regression therapy.
Right.
And I said, I don't have any feet. And he said, you don't? He said, because he asked, where are you? I said, I don't know, type of thing. Anyway, he says, then he picked up right away. He says, well, what are you? I said, I'm light. And he said, are there others like you? And I said, oh, let me look around. Oh, yes, there's lots of light. And then he said, how do you communicate? Through words, thoughts, or feelings?
Uh-huh.
I said, the latter two.
Right.
And then he asked if I had a message, and I commended him on the work he was doing, getting dates and names that he could check out with records.
Uh-huh.
And then he asked if there was anything else. And I'm sitting in my white dress. But the moment he says that, I turn to the audience. My eyes are still closed.
Right.
But the words that come from my mouth are, the time you have all been waiting for is upon you. In your lifetime, you will experience the victory of light.
Wow. This is in when?
1977.
Wow. Gee, that long ago. That's 30 years, darling, almost.
That doesn't have time the way we do, so, right. But it's in my lifetime still, so I realize that we're at the point of the victory of light. And
yes.
Jesus promised that 2,000 years ago.
Yes, he did.
You know, Revelations. And so I'm not worried about the yuck that's killing itself off in the world. I'm just focused on being the best me I know how to be.
Well,
and sharing the knowledge that I've gained mm-hmm. to help others get a head start, mm-hmm. just like we do with our children, mm-hmm. you know. So it's something that we can all do by focusing on being the best person we can be. And it all starts with thinking positive, you mm-hmm. know, loving yourself and loving others. They mm-hmm. go together. We're all connected. We're one in the spirit. There's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
We're never alone. Our life support is visible and invisible.
All right.
We are surrounded by love.
Mm-hmm.
And we each have the opportunity to be what make this world one person better
mm-hmm.
by being who we are. At
I agree. That is beautiful. And that last bit I feel was channeled. Am I correct?
You are correct.
See, she does talk to angels.
Well, it was interesting because as he brought us back to the here and now, and I walked back to my seat, I still wasn't all of me. And
right.
this woman had walked up and said, have you ever channeled before? And all I wanted to do was pet her on the head. I felt so much love for her.
Oh,
I just
wow.
wanted to, like a father to a child.
Right.
I just wanted to stroke her top of her head.
Right.
I felt all this love, and I said,
it just gets to you, doesn't
it? I was in that beautiful place.
It is.
And every once in a while, those experiences come, and they just come at the right moment. They are real miracles.
Yes,
and
they are.
They make me feel
mm-hmm.
one with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one thing to do, to trust, because if you don't trust, you're miserable. So who wants to be miserable?
Exactly. And that's the other thing, too, is trusting in yourself and the good that is around you.
Well, you can trust everybody because you're trusting the God in everybody.
Right.
You're trusting God's love in everything created. And so you're trusting that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to a doctor, have surgery, whatever.
Yeah.
I just see the angels and God in everyone and everything, and I know everything's going to be perfect, and it is.
Well,
you know?
You can also send out the energy that you want to draw into your life. Only those people who are good for you and those who are not beneficial for you, you know, you don't have to work with. Yeah,
well,
you come
you'll
to
only
that awareness,
draw to you your own kindred spirits. You'll only
exactly.
draw to you, you know, and if somebody yucky comes into your life, that's because they need a good dose of love to help get them over their own negative
uh-huh.
hurdle into positive. And
uh-huh.
then you've, you know, changed the darkness into light,
uh-huh.
and that's just one more star up in heaven that
uh-huh.
makes this world brighter.
Uh-huh. That's a beautiful concept. And I'm hoping that we get some more callers in because, you know, we still have a few minutes yet to chat.
An extra privilege.
It is.
I just had a recent experience.
Okay.
A friend of mine, a brother-in-law, was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Oh, which one? Do I know him?
No, his name is Bill, and the funeral was today.
Oh.
But what was beautiful about this is that he did not grow up with a religious background, and I think it's because the diagnosis was late and therefore terminal, and the family had to go through a lot of adjusting to the reality that this was
yeah.
terminal, and it happened very fast.
I see.
That my prayers were going to the family, you know, for
mm-hmm.
the embrace of love by the angels and
mm-hmm.
and God and evil and everything. And
mm-hmm.
anyway,
mm-hmm.
about 2 days before he passed, you know, we wanted him to have a peaceful passing and did not to his. He had to conquer the fear
yes.
that he was experiencing. A lot of it because there was hardly any time for him to
prepare.
Accept, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he told his daughter. George said, "It's okay." And she said, "Who's George?" And he said, and this was one of his lucid moments, "You know, St. George, the dragon slayer."
Huh.
Well, Jessica told my friend, her aunt,
mm-hmm.
and says, is there a St. George? You know? And when she told me, I said, oh, yes, the Dragon Slayer. Our prayers have been answered.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that means he's conquered. The fear is
yes.
to be conquered. And he will have a peaceful passing, and therefore his family. And my friend Linda checked on the internet because she didn't know about a St. George. And
oh.
he is a symbol of victory.
Yes.
So,
well, he's also the patron saint of England.
And he, yes. Yeah, I knew he was an English saint. So, that I mean, it was beautiful. And today the caravan was 1 mile long because he was a policeman.
Oh.
After being in the military. And he used to be in the poor neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And organizing the children into sports and other activities.
Oh, what a good man.
And he was so loved. But he died young at 50.
Oh,
you
my
know,
goodness.
But adult children, but with a lot of love and respect. And he was truly honored today as they traveled from, you know, Crestview
mm-hmm.
to Pensacola for a military funeral.
Mm-hmm.
He was escorted by police, and they were part of the caravan. So a mile-long caravan for about, I think it was 50 miles. So it's really a remarkable. But what's the most remarkable is the spiritual support that came through in a manner which the family had to look up because they didn't even know there was a St. George. And that's one of the beautiful mysteries of how spiritual support happens. It can come in the most interesting and unexpected ways.
Oh, that's a powerful story.
Especially since it's really so fresh.
Yes. And your life has been filled with these many stories, hasn't it?
Oh. Well, just what I had an angel shop in Destin,
Florida,
for a couple years.
Uh-huh.
And people shared stories with me, and I could always tell
mm-hmm.
they would come in and look around, and they were just a glow about them. And I said, you've had an angel experience, haven't you? And they said, yes. I said, do you mind sharing it with me? And so I've got a collection. I really need to turn that into a storybook because I have a lot of angel stories that come from just having all about angel shops.
I think it would be absolutely fascinating. I hope you took notes or have a very good memory.
I even asked permission to record them on audio.
Did
tape.
You?
Yes.
How
this,
neat.
Well, one of the first experiences I had was an elderly woman. They came in with her daughter and granddaughter, and she was going through the books. And when she couldn't stand very long and had to kneel, stoop down, I grabbed a chair because that's how weak she was. And I said, may I help you find something? She says, I just found it. And it was a picture of the Archangel Michael.
Hmm.
And the next day, I guess it was probably on a Friday, and on Monday she was hospitalized.
Hmm.
To make a long story short, because I know we don't have a lot of time, it turned out that St. Michael came to her, and she told me in the angel shop that I was looking for a picture of the angel that came to me, and she found it. So you know she was guided. It was wonderful.
Wow.
And she said he came to me, but he didn't talk to me. Well, on Monday night, the Sunday night before she was hospitalized Monday morning, he came to her, and this time he talked. He said, I'll be back for you Thursday late afternoon or early evening. And she smiled. And on Monday morning, she had to be hospitalized. And, of course, they made all the efforts to keep her alive because she did not have a living will.
Uh-huh.
And on Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m., she did pass away.
Oh, my.
St. Michael came for her, and she passed away with a smile on her face.
Oh.
So it's so beautiful, you know.
Oh, how exquisite.
I had another woman that came in, and she had 5 experiences with her angel.
Uh-huh.
One when she was a little girl, and there was this light in her bedroom, and it startled her, and she ran into her mother's bedroom, and her dad's and mom's just said, not to worry, it's just your guardian angel. So she was comfortable with that. A few years later, as a young wife and mother, she was overwhelmed by the responsibilities that she was going to commit suicide. And she had gotten her husband's revolver from his desk while he and the children were out. And she was about to commit suicide when the angel appeared. And she was able to put the revolver back. And she stayed in this world.
Did the angel talk to her, give her a message?
It was telepathic, she said.
And what did the angel say?
Didn't say anything. She was just totally transformed. That all the heaviness that was around her, that the depression that made her want to end her life was lifted.
Ah, okay.
And then her third experience was being in a hospital room with a friend who had had surgery and who was resting. And she was looking for something to read, and there was a Gideon's Bible. So she pulled that out and started looking at it. And then all of a sudden, she was floating at the ceiling, looking down upon her friend in bed asleep and upon herself reading the Bible. And she found herself next to her angel, and her angel took her someplace and showed her a lot of knowledge and then brought her back. And she said it was like an hourglass experience where all the sand was just moving quickly down. And as she moved back into her body, she was really upset because all that knowledge that she was given, she was not going to remember, and she knew it, and she didn't like it, but she knew she had to accept it, that somewhere in her she had it, that maybe it would surface at the right time. And then their fourth and the fifth experience, I didn't get to hear it because then other customers came in. And she was just passing by. She was returning to Alabama. And when passed my shop, she did a U-turn just to come in. So I've had a lot of beautiful experiences. And the other interesting experience when I had the angel shop was that because we had Hurricane Opal come.
Right,
and
I remember.
Really concluded my time there because it was a year plus recovery for our area that happened in October of 95. And the interesting experiences that happened there too. But a lot of people who had never seen angels before or connected with them, once they visited my shop, they began to see angels. Angels. And I got that feedback later on, you know. But they're always around us. We just have to talk to them. One of the greatest angel experiences was talking to a friend of mine who lives in Long Island. Her daughter was 9 years old at the time, and she wanted to know the name of her angel. And I said her angel's name was Marie. So she started talking to Marie. And one day, as she was getting ready to school, she asked Marie, well, I want to see you. And she said, oh, you can if you want. Just look in the mirror. And sure enough, when she looked in her mirror, because she'd been brushing her hair, right beside her was an angel with violet light all around her. And after that, she could see her all the time. And she said the teacher would walk right through the angel when she was in the classroom.
Right.
And what, you know, what's even the greatest part of this story?
But
there's so much to her story. Her name is Sarah. She is now graduating this year from college. And this is a child that had brain seizures when she was a baby. So that her schooling has always been in the special education group of being slow. And yet, because of the angels, she is a college graduate this year. to be
what
a teacher.
What a beautiful story.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
Oh, that is absolutely glorious. I hope you have that written down to tell, too.
Oh, well, that's, I could write a book just on her stories, because one day her mother called me, do angels get married? I said, I don't know.
Why not?
I don't think so. I don't think they have to. I said, but why are you asking me? Well, she said, because Marie, the angel Marie, is telling Sarah that she's going to have another angel, and his name is Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And so the easiest, and I said, well, you know, if I were an angel talking to a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old, because it was probably another year or so that went by, and I was wanting to explain a partner, I think it would be easier to explain it as a marriage.
Right.
And so now there were two angels. But then the third angel came in.
Uh-huh.
His name was Sam. And he was like Mr. Clean. He was the big guardian angel. And Marie and Joey were really her personal angels.
Uh-huh.
Like companions. They grow up with them. You know, they start
Yeah, I remember I had angels as a, or I called them my playmates when I was a child.
Exactly.
They were
and
my
they're the companion angels, the personal angels. And they usually have ordinary names like Henry and Marie and Joey and things. But Sam now, he is a guardian angel. And Sarah had all kinds of interesting experiences. When her mother couldn't afford to buy her a new school bag, the angels provided it for her. And they don't know how it just appeared as a brand new, you know, bag. And she got, and her mother couldn't clean up her room because the angels cleaned it up for her. Oh, so she has all kinds of stories. But the best is the fact that she has gone all the way through school to go into college. And this is was a mentally, you know, handicapped child.
Not really.
And she still talks to the angels. In fact, she used to tease me all the time and that she was going to say, she was going to take my job of being the angel communicator. And I said, there's an angel for all of us and there's several angels. And so there's plenty of work for everyone.
Absolutely. Believe me, no one person has a corner of the market.
Absolutely. No, we all can participate and share and helping one another, and it is amazing. I love being able to help people help themselves, to remind them of what they already know, to give them encouragement,
well, I know
and
you
preparation.
Did. I did with you. I guess we could tell them a little bit about what happened since we have a little time. I was at the Association of Research Enlightenment back in 91, 92. And I was there learning about psychic abilities because I had abilities all of my life, but you can always learn more, right?
Always.
And I wasn't really sure about this. I mean, raised a Catholic, come on, you know, it's kind of, they tell you it's just not kosher, so to speak. However, we had some readings. And by the way, I need to tell our audience that if you ever want to have some training in psychic ability, go to the ARE. They have an Edgar Cayce Legacy Conference, usually in late February, early March. It is fabulous for learning, and that's where I met Wilma. She was giving readings there that year. And I was assigned to her, and I think, what did I have, 4 readings with you that time? 5?
I think 2.
2? No, we had more than 2. We had more than 2, I know, because I paid for them personally.
Right, and then I think we shared and talked and about
and
others.
That from then on in we were friends.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, but basically, we had a reading, which is part of the conference schedule. You want to tell it or I? Because I was half out of it. I just didn't know what to think. I had never really, really had a reading before. I knew things would happen. I could tell things were going to happen, but when I went into that room with you and had that reading and left, I wasn't sure if I was coming back to or not.
It was a fantastic experience. because for me, even though I was invited, I still had to be tested because they didn't have any professional psychic that was part of the
process.
The conference and the service being provided for the week long had to pass their test to validate one's abilities, even though there was a certain level of professionalism already in place.
They still do that, by the way.
Oh, well, that's good. But every reading I experienced, each one, it was like having an ice cream sundae with every scoop, you know, doing 12 scoops up, you know, with cherries on top. Everyone was significant, and I came out of the experience feeling 10 feet tall because of the magnificent beings of light that I met through each person. I can't even describe just yours or anyone in particular because they were all so magnificent, and I felt so, as the reader, you're the receiver, and I'm the messenger, but I felt so privileged to read for such extraordinary people. I mean, each person was extraordinary in their own right. And the sense of, what I remember about you was the sense of authority that you had. There was an air of knowledge and experience and wisdom that you carried that made you like a general, you know, supervising a sometimes the words just do not come through when you're having to reconnect with the time, because that moment was such a significant experience that it grabs you completely. You're in the moment, and there's no time before or after. When it's done, it's done. And all that you feel afterwards is 10 feet tall. You know, you feel so great and so privileged to have had this magnificent connection.
Well, what I do remember is that when I went in there, I thought it was just going to be some generic type of thing, you know, that I had experienced. What I experienced was, first of all, you were getting messages from beyond. I remember that. I was lying there while you were sitting beside me, and I began to shake. I think I almost levitated. And you started working with me with some energy working. I said, what are you doing? You said, I don't know. But you said, I'm being led to work some energy over you. And I remember trembling and shaking, and I swear I thought I was being lifted out of that the chair I was in. And you also said I was going to have a change of guardians, of angels, and that we have these shifts when we go through and to a certain level, then they have sort of a changing of the guard.
Yes.
And that you go through this changing of the guard as you meet each growth level, and then others come in to help you. And you told me that that's what was going to happen to me. Well, I'll tell you something. I remember also that I saw this light almost coming from the middle of my forehead, and I could see another figure in front of me. It was like I had a projector coming right from that third eye. It just blew my mind. And when I left, I wasn't sure whether or not I should be taken away for examination or not, you know. And I remember Carol Ann seeing me. She said, how was your reading? What do you think? And I just looked at her, and she said, oh, you want to think about it. Well, let me know when you're done. I'm sitting there with my mouth open.
You are so right. When you have that kind of experience, it is so unique.
Yes.
It's almost like it didn't even happen.
You're
transformed, but you can't really describe it.
No. And I will tell you, I know a day or two later, in the middle of the night, I was suddenly aware I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was suddenly aware of a powerful presence, and I saw a figure, and I was alone in the room. I didn't have a roommate. You know, leave the room and go out through the balcony. I was high up on the ocean front there in Virginia Beach. Go out through the balcony door and disappear. And it was sort of like goodbye. And I was suddenly feeling alone, you know, because that energy was no longer there. And as I watched, a figure came floating in through the window. And I'm watching this thinking, I don't believe this. And I hadn't been drinking, so it couldn't have been that. But I remember watching that figure float in and come into the room and sort of just look at me and then sat down in the chair beside the window. And I kind of fell back asleep at that point. And I remember being aware it felt like a male presence. And I kept waking up every little bit and checking to make sure the head was over there by the window and not near me. Because I wasn't going to have anybody close to me. But it was like that presence was saying, well, I'm the change of power at this point, or teaching, and you're going to get used to my energy. And then towards dawn, I remember seeing the figure sort of just beginning to fade away. And that power, that energy stayed with me for a number of years till there was another change a number of years later. It was the most remarkable thing. And I will say this. The accuracy of your predictions was phenomenal. The few predictions I'd had with other people over the years, I think their accuracy level with me, from what I could remember, was somewhere where maybe 25% of the things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yours was up near 90%, which I felt was phenomenal. That was most unusual.
Well, I do thank God for the blessings of, as I mentioned earlier, when you're acting as the messenger, it's your job. You know, we're mirrors of one another, to be as clear as possible,
mm-hmm.
and the highest truth being love, that's what you're, you know, committing
mm-hmm.
to. It is, but an experience can be very unexpected and positive. Your experience has reminded me of a kind of more of an everyday reading I did with a businessman that I described his real estate business and the changes going on, et cetera. But toward the end, somehow at the end, I realized that he was going to be so overwhelmed by all of the information. And this is why I always record, so that it's an audio tape. Because
right.
You're only going to remember about 25%, and there's the other 75% that's going to make a lot more sense later in
uh-huh.
review. But just to show you how our angels do help us along the way, it's like, this last minute, as we were concluding, I had the feeling he was going to discard the whole thing just because he was overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
from the accuracy of the information.
Right.
That in popped the thought of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your mother's in spirit, and she wants me to remind you to tie your socks when you wash your clothes. And that concluded our reading. Well, it was a friend who drove him to my house, and the next morning the friend called me to say he was in a state of shock when he got into his Mercedes. He was so out of his skin from the
uh-huh.
experience, and you topped it off by telling him that his mother said not to forget to tie his socks. And she said he grew up with that phrase all the time in
right.
his head, his mother telling him, don't forget to tie your socks.
Right.
So
that impressed upon him that what he was hearing was the truth, so he would take you seriously.
Well, so that he would pay attention to the information
exactly.
was given. The information was for him, not for me.
Well, that's what I
mean.
I
was not
seriously.
In the real estate business, and I really didn't have any desire to profit from any of his work. the information is for the person receiving, and it would have gone to waste. It would have not made sense, and later on he would have said, oh, I remember that, I remember that, but now it would have stayed intact.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just saying that as the reader, I could not be that clever.
Right.
If it were just me.
Right.
Because I'm in this nice, centered place to be the messenger.
Right.
And if it wasn't for the spiritual support
uh-huh.
coming in with this knowing,
uh-huh.
you know, sometimes it's very hard. You know, when you first, you've not met a person before.
Absolutely.
And you're getting information that seems really out of it, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
One of the experiences I had that I have written in probably The Blue Feather, or maybe it's my other book, Inner Resources.
Uh-huh.
The Intuitive You, but whatever it is, I remember this gal, her mother had had a reading for me, so she came, and it was the end of a work day, and she had no makeup on, and looked tired and fatigued. The reason I bring this up is that the moment I started the reading, I had interference. I called it a ghostie.
Uh-huh.
This ghost was like a court jester. He just got hopping all over the place, and I couldn't do my normal ritual, a reading, which starts off with a prayer.
Uh-huh.
He kept interfering. So I told her, I've got interference here, and I'm not going to have any peace until I say what he is wanting me to say to you.
Right.
And I just wondered if you knew somebody that was kind of a, I call him a court jester, but just a comic, somebody, a place where you maybe went for drinks after work or something, and this guy was just the social fella who
uh-huh.
just went around saying hello to everybody and telling jokes and things, and he died in an auto accident. And she gave me his name. She said, oh, yes, I remember him. I didn't know him well. I mean, I just would see him there.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, the message he is telling me is that you're going to be married for the fourth time. And that she would be married four times. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, he disappeared. And I said, was in my head, I did not verbalize this, I said, my gosh, she looked like a little wallflower, a plain Jane. I don't know how else to explain it.
Uh-huh.
But I said, it was the end of the workday. I thought she would be lucky to be married once. And here I'm being told she's going to be married four times, you know. So I look at her and I say, forgive me, but I can't seem to get on with this reading and get this out of my system. But he says you're going to be married four times. And if you are, I get the feeling that that means you're married now on the third time. Can that be right? And she says, oh, yes, that's true. I'm in my third marriage. Well, I almost fainted. You know, we're learning every time we do readings. We're learning ourselves. You know, what's really strange, she works in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
And so when I saw this image of a man with a white coat on, I thought that he must be a doctor, you know, a medical practitioner, right?
Okay, being interrupted.
Yeah, I'm just kind of let you know we're coming down to the wire and we'll have a new show up soon. Fabulous show.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, I'll give you the end of this story.
Okay.
Later on, she did have a fourth marriage.
Okay.
And so, because she worked in the hospital, I thought that's why the guy with the white lab coat.
Oh.
This is why you have to be careful in interpretations.
Exactly.
I just know I got the word doc, you know?
Okay.
Well, I asked her, did you end up marrying a doctor? She said, no. And I said, oh, I wonder why I got that image. She says, I can tell you why. It's because he is an auto doctor, and he wears a white coat for that image, and they call him Doc.
Oh, that's cute.
I said, I am always learning. So that's why you have to be careful in interpretation. Just say the information that you get, the images and all, and let somebody do their own interpreting.
Exactly.
And time validates truth. It's always on your side.
Exactly.
So, Janie and Nan and Julia, the lovely ladies that called earlier,
yes.
Maybe they can validate for us with a little more time going by.
That
the accuracy of the information we gave them tonight. God bless us all.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to The Higher Dimension. Please tune in again next week on Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is BBS Radio, and we want to thank Don, our producer, for his lovely work that he does, that's the scenes behind, and he doesn't get enough praise and thanks for the work he does do. We look forward to talking to you again, and we hope you will continue to listen. Thank you so much. I'm Phyllis Pricer for The Higher Dimension. Good evening.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.